Well, tonight we're going to look at a psalm, Psalm 136. And let me just ask you, do you have a favorite psalm? I know the RP is known for a psalm singing church, so you have the psalms as a part of your worship service. But do you have a favorite psalm? And most people do have a favorite psalm or two. Among the most commonly favorite would be Psalm 23, of course, or Psalm 27. I became a Christian in 1978, and immediately my mom's example encouraged me to read the Bible a lot, and so I began reading the Psalms a lot, as well as the New Testament. And this psalm tonight, I have to confess, was my least favorite. I read it my early years in the New American Standard Version Bible, and so 26 times it's His loving kindness endures forever. I found it very tedious. I read through the Psalms once a month, and coming roughly around the 25th of the month, I'd come to Psalm 136. I'm thinking, Psalm 136, okay. And eventually I just skipped over the refrain. Well, tonight I want to tell you that God has graced me with repentance for skipping over His word, because I'm convinced now that this psalm is one of the best examples of gospel sanctification, probably in the Psalms, and maybe even in the Bible, precisely because of the repetition. Because the repetition is, "For His steadfast love endures forever." Let me observe, just for starters, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 26, as we look at whose steadfast love we're talking about. Give thanks to the Lord. Of course, you recognize right off the bat that it's all capitals, and this is a particular name in the Hebrew for the Lord. It's His covenant name. Give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, Elohim, the Creator, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, capital first letter, then lowercase, which is the word for Adonai, which is the name of God as the owner of all things. We're talking about Thanksgiving tonight. I would submit to you that many of the reasons why we aren't as thankful as we could be is because we're of the opinion that we're really owners. And He is. And then the last one, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. We're going to conclude by observing why that's so important to end this psalm with. Christianity Today, a couple of years ago, ran an article entitled, "Gratitude as the Parent of All Virtues." Would you agree with that statement? Gratitude, the parent of all virtues. Let me put it the other way around. The Apostle Paul would say, ingratitude, if you remember first Romans chapter 1, 21, ingratitude is the mother of all vice. Gratitude. When I came across this story, many of you might know the name Gordon MacDonald, a pastor up in New England, a couple of times president of Denver Seminary. He's now retired, and on one occasion he took his grandson, at the time age 3, to Chuck E. Cheese's. If you've ever gone there, you know, parents, it's a time to have your mind fried with all the activity there. And so grandpa took their grandson to Chuck E. Cheese. At the end of the evening, grandmother was buckling the grandson into the car seat, and Gordon MacDonald was in the driver's seat and waiting for that to happen. And grandmother said, "Be sure to say thank you to grandpa for bringing you here." Silence. Grandmother said, "Did you hear me? Be sure to thank your papa because he brought you here." Silence. And Gordon MacDonald says, "At first I ignored this backseat conversation, but then I changed my mind." He said to him, "You know, papa enjoys doing nice things for grandchildren, especially when they say thank you." Silence. And Gordon MacDonald says, "You know, I was getting a little irritated by now." And so he said, "Did you hear, Papa?" And he goes, "Uh-huh. Still no thank you." And now he says, "I was very upset." He says, "Are you ignoring me?" And the little boy said, "I am thankful, Papa. I just don't want to say it." Now, if you have kids, you know that's a disconnect. To have a grateful heart and not to say it is inconsistent. For gratitude itself is spoken. And to have a grateful heart and not to say it really is an insult. Then we're talking about how important gratitude is. So this evening we're going to look at this psalm, and I'm going to take Jim Montgomery Boyce's commentary, in which he takes this psalm and he observes this psalm to follow the Apostles' Creed. And so we're going to look at this psalm from the vantage point of the Apostles' Creed. And the very first statement in the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And so look at giving thanks to God because he is the maker of heaven and earth. Notice verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. I would submit to you, this is a very important key to our sanctification, is to know, to believe, that in everything under all creation, God has worked, God is working, and God will always be at work, for his steadfast love endures forever. When God created the world, when he made the heavens, when he formed you while you were yet in your mother's womb, his steadfast love endures forever. When he put you into your family, when he put you with your parents, when he chose for you your mother and your father, when he gave you siblings, or for some without siblings, when in his providence he decided to withhold children from you, his steadfast love endures forever. When he made you male or female, his steadfast love endures forever. When he made you the firstborn or the lastborn, his steadfast love endures forever. When he gave you great athletic ability or none, his steadfast love endures forever. When he gave your family the legacy of health, or by his providence gave your family a legacy of weakness and illness, because it happens sometimes, doesn't it? There are families sometimes who illness and weakness seems to follow in their family. Others, they hardly ever get sick. Why is that? Well, largely because of providence. His steadfast love endures forever. The psalmist is saying this and helping us to perceive and requiring us to say so by all of this repetition, that in all things, all the time, every time, whether providence is easy on us or providence is hard on us, at all times, every time, his steadfast love endures forever. Therefore, it is good always to give thanks. Secondly, we observe it is good to give thanks to the Lord as the Redeemer. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Notice verse 10. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel to pass through it in the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. This portion of the psalm recounts God's great work of salvation. And we know that salvation of by God of the Jews, what in the Exodus was a picture of that redemption that God accomplished in his Son, Jesus, in his birth and life and death and resurrection, ascension and enthronement. In other words, all the ministry of Jesus, from his infancy through the early years, his temptation in the wilderness, his first miracle, and all throughout the war that he waged with the Pharisees, ultimately his trial, his prosecution, and his conviction, ultimately his death on the cross. All of these things is the totality of God's saving work in Christ for us. And so we could say the same thing. When he was baptized by John and the heavens were open and the Spirit came down upon him, his steadfast love endures forever. When the Spirit of God thrust him into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and there he succeeded to beat him and to act in a superior way over him for our sakes, his steadfast love endures forever. When he touched the leper, his steadfast love endures forever. When he opened the eyes of the blind, his steadfast love endures forever. When he raised the dead to life, his steadfast love endures forever. When he preached the gospel to the poor and liberation of the prisoners, his steadfast love endures forever. When he matched wits with the Pharisees and proved himself to be the Son of God, his steadfast love endured forever. When he was arrested on false pretenses, when he was tried, when they brought in witnesses that could not sustain even their testimony and they convicted him unjustly, God's steadfast love in Christ endures forever. Think of the circumstances of your own conversion. I was converted when I was 19. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, I didn't actually discover that the grace of the gospel until I was 19. Maybe some of you came to Christ later in life. Maybe some of you were born in a Christian home and you never known anything but the gospel. Were you converted amidst hard circumstances, difficulties? His steadfast love endures forever. You know, when you go back to the story in Egypt, it says here, who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought them out among them. Brought them out among them after 400 years. 400 years. 400 years ago this week, the colony of Jamestown barely survived. 400 years ago this week, William Shakespeare died. 400 years ago this week, Miguel de Cervantes, the Spanish author of Don Quixote, thought to be one of the greatest novels of all time, died. 400 years. You've only been a nation for what, 250? 400 years they were in slavery. 400 years of prayers not answered. 400 years of promises not kept. 400 years of hopes and dreams buried in Egypt. 400 years. And yet the promise of God, the hope of God, was right on time. His steadfast love endures forever. You know, we have to realize, you know, God is not in a hurry. You might be in a hurry, but God is not. God has so many other things going on that the delay, that at least the perception that you might have of his delay, is only God and his purposes playing out. His steadfast love endures forever. A third reason to give thanks. It is good to give thanks because the Lord is our defender. Notice verse 17. To him who struck down the king, the great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, the king of the Amorites, his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. He gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for a steadfast love endures forever. I would submit to you, this is very, very, very good news. It's good news because it's good to give thanks because the Lord is a constant defender. Who is Og? Who is Sihon? Well, they were enemies of God's people. They were the kings of the nations of the fiercest enemies the Jews faced when they were first entering the promised land. They were tough. They were marauders. They were butchers. And it says very simply, God killed them. That simple. These kings were not innocent men. They were marauders, butchers. God killing them was a just killing. God's war was a just war. But I want to ask you this evening, who are your worst enemies right now? What is your worst enemy right now? God is pleased at times to send us enemies. Our church recently finished up a series in our Sunday school class on Pilgrim's Progress. And if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, and actually I've never read it. I've read bits and pieces of it, but I read it this time. And it's amazing to me how many enemies have faced Christian along his journey. And what I find very interesting about the enemies that Christian faced on his trek to the celestial city is, at first, they didn't come off to him as an enemy. At first, they were friendly. At first, they appeared to be supportive. At first, they seemed to be there to help him, but as the journey progressed, it became obvious that they only sought to derail his quest, to sidetrack his journey, even though all of the friends, almost to the man, were friendly. They were not friends. The promise of God is here. His steadfast love endures forever. It is his vow to defend you. It is his vow to intervene. It is his vow to keep watch over you, to send you shepherds, to send you friends. The promises to bring you comfort and joy. And it thus proves and reminds you his steadfast love endures forever. It is good to give thanks. Number four, it is good to give thanks to the Lord because he is our friend. Notice 23. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, to every creature, for his steadfast love endures forever. Each of these is to say that God, in fact, did come through. He did remember us. He has rescued us. It may seem to us, maybe for a very long time, that he has forgotten us. We may have doubted his timing for his intervention, but he has not forgotten. He has come through, and therefore we can remember his steadfast love enduring forever. We can remember his intervention. His steadfast love endures forever. His supply to our most basic needs, his steadfast love endures forever. Because he is a friend, therefore we can give thanks to him. Notice verse 25. He is good to all. Good to all flesh. You know, there is a sense in which it is true when Paul says in Romans that ingratitude really is the beginning of that descent into more and more sin. In effect, when we look around, when we see the world, we especially in this country, even though this country has its problems, some very significant, we have so much to be thankful for that we look around our daily experience, we see everywhere we are awash in God's steadfast love. We're never separated from it. It never leaves you. We don't always see it. And so like the Apostle Paul, we should pray the prayer that he prayed for the Ephesians, that he prays that the eyes of our heart might be enlightened. Because God's grace is everywhere. God's grace is especially in Christ Jesus. But God, by his mercy and grace, constantly is showing and proving himself to us. Now, that's the reason why it's so important that we not miss out on any of these 26 statements, for his steadfast love endures forever, because it's everywhere. We leave tonight and we can make it home safely. His steadfast love endures forever. In the morning we wake up and have a sip of coffee, his steadfast love endures forever. Whether you go home and have a bowl of cereal before you go to bed, his steadfast love endures forever. Every drink of water, his steadfast love endures forever. Every greeting from a Christian brother or sister, every single one of them, is proof that his steadfast love endures forever. Every snowflake, every page of your Bible, every occasion for remembering the promise of God, his steadfast love endures forever. Every hardship, let's not forget that. That God, like a loving father, and if we have children, we know that it is loving sometimes to bring the rod. It's not because we are mean-spirited. It's because we love our children. We want what's best for our children, and we know that they cannot achieve their best without it. Well, it's the same for us. That God has his very best in store for us, and so sometimes he delivers hard things, hardships, adversities, setbacks, disappointments, changes of plans. His steadfast love endures forever. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. His steadfast love endures forever. Let me observe this last verse, verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. It's fitting that we end here with the God of heaven, even though heaven is not our end. Heaven is just our beginning. And why is that? Because his steadfast love endures forever and ever and ever and ever for us. Amen. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious God, forgive us. Forgive us that sometimes we do get stuck with complaining hearts. Forgive us when we see so much around us and we nitpick. When we realize that when we only realize the things that could be instead of the good things that you have given to us, the good things that are. Lord, we thank you that Jesus himself was a man of joy. And yet we know that who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I can't imagine what that would have been like to know that he was about to have our sins, all of our sins, laid upon him. And an eternity of wrath for each of us laid upon him, and he experienced it in the span of just a few hours. The trauma of it, the awfulness of it, the absolute sense of being utterly destroyed, utterly disintegrated under the wrath of God, and yet he bore it with joy, knowing what joy set before him, knowing that we would be his inheritance. Lord, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Forgive us for when we are not. And yet, Lord, this evening I want to give thanks for this body tonight. Thanks for the pastor of this church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for each of these elders who have devoted themselves to the care of this church. Thanks to each wife that prays for her husband. Thank you for each of these children here listening to the Word of God. Thank you for each sibling that loves its older sibling and younger sibling. Thank you for the baby that I mentioned, that I heard this evening, born into a family. Lord, indeed, there is so much to be thankful for. Thank you for giving us health. Thank you for giving us love one for another. Lord, we don't make any qualms about the fact that our love is always imperfect. Our devotion imperfect. Our submission is imperfect. Our leadership is imperfect. Our ministries are imperfect. And yet, Lord, when we put our faith in Jesus, trusting in his grace, following his word, trusting in the resource he gives to us, you are pleased with us even when we stumble. We can give thanks to you. Give thanks for the fatherly hard providences. Thanks for making us wait. Thanks for the answer to prayer. Thanks for the prayers that seem to be delayed. Lord, we trust you by calling us to say over and over again, your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, we know that it endures now. It endures tomorrow. It endures this week. It endures this year. It has always endured for your people and will always endure for us all throughout the course of our lives. Lord, let us be a people known for joy. Known for joy, reveling in joy, reveling in gratitude. Let us be the people that can love each other in spite of our challenges, in spite of our difficulties, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I thank you for this congregation that's growing in joy, that's growing in love, that's growing because they too can confess and do confess that your steadfast love endures forever. And so we wish to give you thanks this evening. Fill us as we continue and come near this conclusion. And as we share greetings one with another, we give you thanks. For Jesus' sake, amen.